Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. Tonight, you're tuning in to Queen Vibes Reality Talk, Sex, Life, and Relationships. It is Therapy Thursday. Tonight, we'll be talking about racism. Yes, it still exists. Racial profiling. And also, we're going to touch base on some things within our community that we need to work on and fix. It's not that we don't know what the issues are. We don't have enough people that's standing up and speaking out and doing things about the issues that we have. So we're going to touch base on that a little bit later. Once again, for those who are listening via website at blogtalkradio.com/Queen Vibes Reality Talk, if you have a question, a comment, or you want to join the discussion, you can call 929-477-1436. That's 929-477-1436. We have the amazing, intelligent, outstanding, I can go on and on and on, Mr. Hakeem Nuba today. Looking forward to seeing what his take is on the certain issues and stuff. We're kind of going to go back and forth because me as a woman, I can speak for some women or from the perspective of a woman, but I understand that men have different struggles when it comes to racism or profiling. So he's going to give the male perspective of it. So let's just jump right into this discussion. Keem, are you there?
Yes, I am. Peace. How are you?
Hi. I'm fine. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Ready to get cooking on this topic.
So I felt like I had to do a show on this because, I mean, it's everyday life. It's things that people, we are people, are struggling. Some people might not experience it more than others, or the same as others, but we still experience it as a people. So I felt like I needed to do a show on this, and I also felt like it was no other person better to come have this discussion with me than you.
Thank you.
So I appreciate you for once again taking your time out, you know, to come on and discuss this. And so first I just want to touch base on just racism as a whole, because everybody deals with race. I'm not going to say everybody. Let me backpedal on that one real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Black people aren't the only people that experience racism, but I feel like we get the biggest butt end of it. I think that, yes, every race that went through their own thing with being treated unfairly or being profiled or whatever the case may be. But it's like, okay, when are we going to have to not deal with it? And when are we going to stand up as a people? Because we don't always have to do it in a violent, negative way, even though some people, that's the only thing they understand. But when we resort to that, they win. So on your take, what can we do as a people, or your whole take on racism as a whole, that we can do to kind of change it or to, stand up for ourselves for the most part, because we can't change the way people think, but we can change how we react to it. And what we do, to change certain people's perspective, because you can't change them all. You got some people, they're born that way, they were taught that way, and that's all they know.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Let me first first thank you for allowing me on today. But in regards to racism, racism is one of the oldest forms of hatred here in this country. This country is still a baby in the grand scheme of things. It's one of the youngest countries that still exists, in the world. So most historians would say this is growing pains. Well, for us as Black folk, it's a little deeper than growing pains. You know, this is a form of abuse. This is a form of hatred. This is a form of isolation in many points. On every aspect throughout any scope of our human condition here in America, we've faced some form of racism, either directly or indirectly. Now, in terms of what we could do to prepare ourselves, first you got to educate yourself, because there's still a lot of folks who think everything's cool because we had a Black president.
Yeah.
You know? They don't understand what it took to get him there, and they also don't understand that, you know, and he couldn't come save you. A lot of folks looked at him as a savior, and a lot of folks looked at him as a sign that we made it. No, he made it. We didn't make it because we are still getting shot by cops because we're Black. We're still getting followed around in the weed store because you're Black. So you can't go into small little bodegas without them looking at you, whether it's a white person or an Asian American person. And it's kind of sad because even Asian Americans who had their own historical issues with racism, even they are racist against us. So we're going to get it from white folks and we're going to get it from other minorities. So one of the things we want to do is we want to educate ourselves, teach our children first what to do when you get hit with racial slurs, how to respond, how to act accordingly, because that's the main thing. You don't want to make a mistake that I once made, you know, due to a racial slur. I got physical and it led to legal issues for myself because I let my emotional response came out, and that's not what you want to do. You have to be smart. You have to know the proper way to handle it. Sometimes it's hard, but you got to walk away. Unless you're prepared to, if we're talking about a situation where you're boxing the corner, you fight, of course. You protect yourself. But if it's an old lady call you an N-word, you keep it going. Keep it pushing. Because she's ignorant and she don't know no better. And if she does know any better, what do you care? Because you're never going to see her again. You keep it pushing. Mm-hmm. But when we're talking about institutional racism at your job, a police officer, at your kid's school, we're going to war. Because these institutions are set up to educate, protect, and help us, right? So there shouldn't be any racism there. And if it's there, then we are going to fight. Somebody getting sued, we're going to protest. We're going to do whatever we need to do. And when I say we, I'm talking about a collective, not 10 dudes, not 10 women. There needs to be a collective because nobody else moves the way we move. You say something about Jewish folks, what do you think happens?
It's going to
every news network.
They shutting everything out.
They coming out. They shutting everything out. You know what I mean? You know, look at the response from the Asian guy that got pulled off of the airplane of a couple of weeks ago. Look at the response, the coverage. Now, what most folks don't know, the same thing happened just 2 weeks prior to a Black guy. You didn't hear anything about it. Why? Because we don't even protect ourselves. We don't stand up for ourselves or each other.
And that's the issue that I have, because my thing is, it should be an issue no matter whether it's one of us killing our own or a cop killing us. We only want to stand up and scream Black Lives Matter when it's a cop or somebody of the opposite race. And we killing each other. We downing each other. I know when I was younger, it was, you're not going to come out in these streets and show your ass because the neighbor going to get on you, and then they're going to tell your mother, then your mother going to get you. So now it's just, nowadays, it's just, everybody, it's like, it's everybody for themselves. Everybody just caring about themselves and how something is affecting them personally. But what they fail to realize is when your community, when your race takes a hit, we all take a hit. It's not just that person. I don't care if that person is across the country and you don't know them and never met them before. You're still taking a hit. Every time you see our youth being exposed to things that they shouldn't, you know, these challenges and these twerking and, you know, men thinking it's, oh, you know, the coolest thing is not to be a doctor or a lawyer, but to be the drug lord or runner or, I mean, put these young men, starting when they're grooming young. I have a son that's 9 years old. Yes, he wears suits. He wears button-ups. He wears sweater vests and ties because that's where the grooming starts, right then and there. If I take him shopping, that's what he going to first. He doesn't sag or anything like that. It's the thing is you groom them young and let them know. Don't let these other people tell us how we're supposed to live or how we're supposed to feel, because that's the problem. We've been trained to think a certain way, to feel a certain way. We've been characterized a certain way. So now people are just teaching the next generation. Social media plays a big part in that, great part in that. Because electronics is training our youth. Because once you see something and it trends, now something negative trends a whole lot quicker than something positive. You can go on and see, oh, you know, black girl graduated from college at the age of 15, and you will see 100 likes. Oh, booty twerking video, you got million likes and shares, and people automatically going to follow. So, I mean, you see the issue in that? The support amongst other black business owners. So if you got a store, okay, I mean, I love my wigs and weaves. I have my own hair, but I love my wigs and weaves. I'm doing different things. But show me, point me in a direction where a black business owner that sells it, and I'm going to go to it. I expect the same customer service, because 9 times out of 10, when you go somewhere else and you buy any stuff, they only care about your dollar. So why not put it back into your own people?
Oh, man, you hit the nail right on the head.
And that's the problem. We need to invest in our own communities, and we need to invest in ourselves. Because as long as we are being consumers and not business owners, if we're not the suppliers, we need to be supplied, then it's a problem. It's a problem. So us as a people, we have to do better. Don't go by the rich man. He got a shoe. Michael Jordan don't care about you buying his shoe or not, because he still, I mean, you buy his shoe, you going to go back to your little apartment. He going to go back to his mansion. He going to lay back, kick his feet up. But when you got somebody else, you know, a young black man or woman that's trying to build their own brand or something, even something as simple as a T-shirt, you can't spend $20 on a T-shirt from an entrepreneur, from a small business owner, but you're going to spend $30, $40 because that man got his money on it. You see the problem?
I agree.
No other race is going to respect us and treat us the way we should be treated if we don't do it ourselves.
Well, SOS, save ourselves, that needs to be it's said oftentimes, but the execution is always poor in the black community. And you're absolutely right. We've been programmed for so long that when I come out and on my Concepts by Nuba page, I mean, post, you know, buy black, shop black, Black Business Matters, that kind of thing, you know, I don't get a lot of likes. You know what I mean? It because people have this thing that you're not going to tell me what to do. And then people are taught and they're programmed to hate themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You hate your hair. You hate your some of us even hate our skin. That's why some of these brown skin girls are covering up with so much foundation, they look light skinned.
Mm-hmm.
Then they got to have hair like white girls. Then they got to have this. And at the same time, the white girls trying to look like you. They trying to get their lips cool. They trying to get their booty big. They want to look like you, and you trying to look like them. So who's worse?
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Who's worse? You're black. You're the first person on this planet. You're the original man, woman, and child on this planet. And if you do not get a good grip on your history, you need to self-educate yourself on how to be a better self. Because if not, time is ticking. You know,
and that's where the ball falls down to. Educate yourself. Come up with a plan and take action. I'm not saying, and you know, the stupidest thing. Okay, I understand about the self-expression or whatever the case may be, but in my opinion, is the stupidest thing you can do is destroy your own community because you're mad. Because at the end of the day, you are going to have to pay for that. You're going to be, your community is going to be out of money. It's going to have to build it back up. People are going to be out of jobs. So who are you really hurting when you decide to burn something down, when you decide to shoot the next brother because he stepped on your shoe, or, you know, things of that nature? When we, you know what kills me growing up, because, I mean, I was a geek. I'm still a little nerdy. I love it. I used to always hear, you talk white. No, I talk educated. I talk like I read my books. You know, I talk more. That if I have to be out of character, I will. But I prefer to talk to you like a human being. I prefer to have an intelligent conversation. And the crazy thing is and that just brings me to the next subject, the men and women, how they interact, how they socialize with each other, how they treat each other, how they treat each other. And when they treat each other a certain way, the youth sees it. So now they think it's okay. You know the saying, don't do as I say, do as I do.
Mm-hmm.
You can talk until you blue in the face. You can't say, you know, respect yourself, respect yourself, respect yourself, and then they turn around and see you not their own mother or father not respecting themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're going to think that's what respect is.
Yep.
I'm walking down the street. You can't say, ma, babe, boo, mm-mm. Because my head not even going to turn the slightest way around. Because that's not my name. It's not my title.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
No.
You know, what gives racism power is the fear and the uneducation of the victim. You know, when they execute racist movements, plans, and sometimes laws, you know, when they're doing their bigoted views towards you, if you aren't mentally prepared on what to do or how to deflect it or how to, you know, bob and weave, you're going to get hit. And I've seen people crumble. I've seen people in corporate America get bumped because, you know, as far as you can go as assistant manager, you can't make manager because you're black. They ain't going to say that, but you know it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got some white dude or sometimes some white girl who come in with less experience, less education, and she got the job.
Because
she had
she's the face of America, quote unquote.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah. She has the complexion for the protection.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it happens. So what do we do? Okay.
Power,
now there's the
problem.
Say that again.
They're not giving us the power because we're not demanding the power. because they tell us, and it's okay.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Now, remember, we're supposed to be protected, you know, with equal opportunity employment, you know, with Voting Rights Act, all these different things that are put in place by Congress and signed off by some president at some time or another, was to protect us, to keep corporate America from being discriminatory towards us. And what happened? Republicans are systematically disassembling these things. You know, before Obama, for instance, before Obama left, he made sure the Justice Department put, you know, things in place on a federal level to look after certain cities and municipalities that had a clear track record of racist activity or discriminatory activity from their police departments. Now, Trump entered Trump and Jeff Sessions, who's a notorious racist. I want anyone who listens to go look up Jeff Sessions, the current attorney general. Now, if you don't know what an attorney general is, he is the top law enforcement officer of the United States. His job is to lock the president up if he has to. He's the most powerful law. You don't get no higher than him. Okay? And he's supposed to work. Yeah, and he's supposed to work on an independent level. Meaning if the president screws up, if they find Trump guilty of some crap with Russia, he's supposed to come with the handcuffs. He's supposed to send the guys in to do the job. We know that he's not going to do that because he's, one, a notorious racist. Two, he's never met a white supremacy group that he didn't like or they didn't like him. You know, when you got the KKK happy that you're in a better position other than senator, that's bad. That's bad for us. That's bad for anything black or brown. So he comes in, and the first thing he does is start putting up for review all the things that Obama did before he left. Now, review may sound like a, you know, cheap, flimsy word, but what it really means is to deconstruct, because that's what he is. He wants to tear shit down, and that's his job. As a racist, that's his job as a hater, and that's his job as a person who systematically targets blacks. This is a despicable, worthless pile of crap that's in there right now. And I don't think people fully understand it. That's why voting is important. I don't care what movement you walk and you talking voting ain't important. Okay, all right, that's what you believe, fine. My black ass won't go vote.
Well,
because
that's
if you
the
get
problem.
The wrong person in, yeah, you get the wrong person in, you jammed.
Well, and that's the problem, because I swear, I knew it was something when it was taking forever to count them votes. I knew it was going to be something. I went to sleep, woke back up. I went back to sleep because I thought I was dreaming, half sleep. I thought it was a meme on Facebook. I don't know. Like, I was just like, I couldn't believe. At right that moment, I was like, tag. I mean, I was not proud to be American. I was disappointed in women. I was disappointed in black people, because anybody that wasn't a white racist should not have voted for that man. And let's just be honest, because he flat out there, I mean, said whatever he wanted. I thought he was just, I don't even think he thought he was going to win. I'm like, this man, he got too much money and time on his hand. He is bored. So he's about to make a mockery out of America for a little while. And no, he's going to be doing it.
In terms of the black people, a lot of them didn't vote for him. We're talking about below 10%, but there were
some. But
they
didn't vote.
You know, people
didn't vote.
Yeah, there was a lot of people who stayed at home.
Yeah. They're like, oh, he got this. No, you can't just think like that. Because you're thinking him not voting, and then you got people that saying we don't want Hillary to get this, and they are voting, or whomever else. It's not even about just voting for Hillary, anybody but him. Like, come on, vote for something. Use your a right to vote for a reason. But second thing go wrong, you want to blame somebody else when you, if you didn't take your privilege and your power to vote, then anything that's going on bad, you cannot complain about it. You cannot complain about it. Like, your opinion doesn't mean anything. So if you didn't go vote, when shit hit the fan, shit start getting crazy, don't start complaining because you had a chance to voice your opinion and you didn't. That's all I see down my timeline. Stupid people. Just all down my timeline. Oh, I'm not voting. And then if we go to war and you get called, I don't want to hear your mouth. Just say your goodbyes to your family and just pack your shit and just go ahead. Because you don't have that's what you signed up for. Don't start whining and complaining now. And if we go to war, you're going to get picked. Because trust and believe, who you think going to be picked first? Who you think is going to be ripped from their
family? Well, here's some good news with that. I don't see a draft coming. Reason being, there's going to be too many rich white kids getting snatched up in it. So I don't see a draft happening. During the last draft, you had a small pocket of rich folks who had the power to get their kids deferred. Like George Bush, his daddy, Bush Sr., got him deferred. He had a medical reason, so he couldn't go. Donald Trump, his daddy got him deferred. He had a medical reason, so he couldn't go. So that was okay, because back then we didn't have this many millionaires. Now, you know, one of Donald Trump's kids could be called off. You can't keep getting – all these millionaires aren't going to get it. That's why there will never, ever be another draft. That's part one. Part two of this, they have all of these strong black and Latinos that they keep drafting. Why do you think over the last 15 years the military has been coming into our schools?
They're trying to catch them.
They're coming to the poor schools, and in fact, it was written in it. Like, there are schools that lost funding if you didn't allow the military to come in and talk to the juniors and the seniors. If you had a ROTC program and you didn't directly connect it to the Air Force and you just did it on your own and you didn't, you know, let them come in and at least talk to you, you lost funding. So what does that tell you? Why is there such a conscious effort to be putting recruiting centers in the middle of the hood? Because they want your ass to get on the front lines and die. It's okay if a couple of them, you know, sprinkled out go and join, but at the end of the day, there's going to be more and more minorities joining the military. And shout out to all the folks who do serve, because listen, at the end of the day, I like that I can get on a radio and talk shit. I like my freedom. But at the same time, I don't stand for any discriminatory behavior.
Exactly. And if it's something you want to do, let it be because you want to do it, not because you're being brainwashed or pushed to do it and got this bargaining chip called education held over your head because you feel like that's the only way you're going to be able to go to college or the only way you're going to be able to do something. And that's what it is. But, I mean, people tell you how you're supposed to think and how you're supposed to feel when it comes to being America. Like, don't let them shift. And, like, for instance, I mean, look how men and women are raised nowadays. We have a whole bunch of single mothers. We have these guys that think that it's a certain way to think to be a man, and he got it all wrong. They got it all wrong because the people who's teaching them don't even have it right. You know, what beauty is, you know, what the difference between somebody's having an interest in you because they love you, they care about you, you know, they want to make you a wife one day, or they just want to screw you. Big difference, and people are getting things are confused, and that's because that's what's being thrown in our communities, and we're running with it. You know.
Well, it's a game of chess, and we play checkers. At the end of the day, You know, I'm about to be 43 in September. So when I was 18, 20, you know, it was early 90s. We're going into the early 90s around that time. So when I was out running the street, out on the block, you know, doing things, there was old heads that schooled me to the ways of the street. Now, your mom and your dad, especially your dad, you know, I was fortunate to have both, you know, still do. You know, your father's job is to teach you how to be a man from his perspective. And he's, you know, he teaches you how to hold your hands, how to fight, you know, how to, you know, he gives you all that he can give you to prepare you for the street. But once you get out in the street, there's a whole nother level of education, correct? So, you know, you get out there, your pop ain't going to tell you about, you know, what crackheads look like. Or, you know, he can tell you from what he sees, but if he hasn't lived that life, he can't break it down to you. You know, he can tell you about certain things, but until you get in those streets, that's where a whole nother level of education comes. So you can do the best you can as a parent, but once they hit those streets and they get on that block, they learn something new that overrides your teachings. All you can do is try to stay on them, try to keep educating them. But the difference is between back then, the kids who were 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20 when I was that age versus now is they don't have any old heads. You see, because during the late 90s going into the 2000s, the old heads were locked up or killed off. So all these kids who are running around now with or without daddies, because I don't want to put it all on the single moms, but there's a lack of education. And then when you look at these single moms, they had to go through the struggle of raising these kids by themselves on low-income situations. They got two or more children, and they're working. They're helping homework. They're cooking. They got their own stresses. They want to blaze up when they get stressed out. They want to go out and turn up too. So with all that pressure, what do you think we're producing? We're producing kids who don't have what they call life skills. Why do you think there's so many memes and so many jokes being said, she can roll a blunt, but can she cook a chicken? Now, is it derogatory? Yes. Is it real? Yes. Can we fix it? Yes. Because back in the day, you had places you can go to help you with those things. Back in the day, they taught it in school. It was called humanities class. It taught you how to run a house. It taught you how to cook, how to knit, how to do the basic things to take care of your family. Those things are gone. So a single mom who has four kids and two jobs, when she got time to be knitting up your holes in your damn pants? No, she going to go to Foreman Mills and get your little funk ass another pair of pants. And you're going to keep tearing them up because they cheap. But at the same time, is little things like that, it may seem small. But fast forward this kid into his late teens, becoming a young adult. He missed out on key things to mentally prepare him to be ready for the streets. As they say, there's levels to this thing. Your parents prepare you for the streets. The streets prepare you for something else. Mm-hmm. And what's happening to our kids, we're being taught to go by, our young ladies are being taught to spend, think about it. How much money do you think you've ever spent on weaving your entire life? If you can just guesstimate that number. I know women who bought cars and don't even know it, and weave houses and weave. You know, I know attorneys who've been practicing law for 20, 30 years, making amazing money and love to buy wigs, love to buy weaves. They just love it because to them, you know, it's easier than preparing their own hair. And they have spent shitloads of money. They didn't come and buy it from a person that looks like us. You know, but after a while, you start getting a certain amount of money, you buy it offline, right? You stop going into the hood to the weed store. You buy it offline because you ain't going into the hood no more. So you see the mentality when you're in the hood, you're not buying it from your people because there's black women who are selling weed all the time. They're selling wigs. Y'all won't go to them. You want to go to the Koreans and buy it or the Vietnamese and buy it or the Chinese and buy it. And then when you get out the hood, when you leave the hood and you get on your feet, you still won't buy it from black people. You're going to go order it offline from the same people from a website. That's sad. We're taught to not offend with each other. We're taught to hate each other. Now, think about that. How is it that you hate our own women? We call them sot bitches and all this other stuff. And I know this show's about racism. You know, I know this show's about racism, but we can't fight that until we're ready.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We have to. How are you going to fight until you got the right weapon? I hear a lot of revolutionaries talking this revolution. I'm ready. I got the heat. I know what the. Listen, there ain't enough heat because you ain't got enough backup.
And that's the problem. Everybody waiting for one person to do something. When we need it's strength in numbers. It's strength in numbers.
Exactly.
You can just count on, you know, the next Obama or Dr. Martin Luther King or Malcolm. No. Everybody, we need to come together as a whole, as a people, and scream to the mountaintops, and also not just talk, but do. We treat each other better. Because first of all, you cannot get on somebody else for doing something that you do. You can't. You can't say respect my people and you don't respect your people. You can't say help my people and you don't help your people. You can't say support my people, you don't support your people. You cannot sit up here and expect anybody to do anything for you and your people that you don't do for yourself and your people. So when you want to run around half-dressed or run around with your pants hanging down, and then because, you know, profiling, you know, that's a part of this show too. But I know we deal with it differently, men and women. But my thing is, you want to be the part, look the part, and do what you have to do to be that part. You can't run around and be standing on some corner with your pants down to your ankles with a white T-shirt on and be sitting and expecting not to be looked at funny by the police. Now, that's different. But when you're sitting there walking with a suit on and you're going to work, you're going to your job, and you're being profiled because you're a black man, now that's when it's an issue, when it's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I said, I'm a woman. I might be just looking at it like that because no man with his pants down sagging is catching my attention anyway. It's not.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm a queen. The king. I don't need a jester. I'm not. So,
yeah.
I don't go for that type anyway. But I'm just saying, you can't, if you put yourself in certain situations, it's different when it comes to you and you're not looking for it than when you're out there doing things to be shedding a certain light. You know, I know some people, he'll be able to wear what he want to wear and all that, but when do you want to dress like a grown-up? When you going to stop, I mean, people in their 40s and 50s still dressing like they're 13 and 14.
Mm-hmm.
They don't know how to dress a job interview.
Mm-hmm.
Or you going to church dress that looks like you should be in a club. Or you going to a job interview with your boobs hanging out because you was told sex sells.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Guess what?
Mm-hmm.
That don't work anymore. That don't even work anymore. You showing up with your boobs and your titty tattoos hanging out, that don't work no more. It may work for some spots, but generally it don't work no more because they already hired all the sots that they calling each other. They already hired all the floozies or whatever you want to call them, and those are the ones that they're using to play that head game with them. So that's another important thing. We got to stop taking. We have to be careful with these employers. Okay, if we're going to go work somewhere, we want to make sure we're working somewhere that's safe, clean, and respectful of who we are. Because there are some employers that will hire girls and then call them hood rats. I've seen it. I have 25 years of management skills. I've worked on every level, and I have seen and heard employers say, "Yeah, I hired a couple of hood rats. They ain't gonna last long. I just need to fill these spots." Because
mm-hmm.
the district manager is on my back. And what happens? They're going in 6 months. A lot of these jobs don't hire people sometimes for their skill. They hire them if you have a freaking pulse. All you got to do is have a damn heartbeat, and you can get a job, and they keep your cash register because they know you're going to be gone. That's why a lot of these fast food and the telemarketing companies, a lot of these kind of places have high turnover rates. When you see that it's a place with a high turnover rate, and you're supposed to do your research before you even go to the interview. What kind of company is this? I might get hired. Let me look into it. See, we have to take responsibility for some stuff before we can combat racism. I'm not saying we blame ourselves. I'm saying we prepare ourselves. Let me tell you something. If there is a race war, I want people beside me who's going to help me fight. I don't want to have to fight this motherfucker, then turn around and have to fight that motherfucker. No. I want people beside me who are ready to fight for us. And we don't have that right now. We don't have that right now. We got people who are on joke time. They don't understand how serious it is out here. They don't understand, you know, they have no idea what's coming for them. Because, see, look at case in point. Look at the Boston bomber situation of some years back. Right, with a weird dudes from another side of the world came over here, and during the Boston Marathon, they want to blow up shit. After that happened, after they got that last one that was in the boat, when I say they, I'm talking about the United States government and the Department of Justice and Homeland Security went into every single major city that had a well proportioned of a black population. They trained these guys on how to lock down a city because they did it excellently when they caught that Boston bomber in that little ass town.
Mm-hmm.
They killed his brother. When they caught him, they put the entire town on martial law. And you know, terrorism is a smokescreen. You know, there's a lot of things that happen in the name of terrorism or in the name of anti-terrorism. We have a large population of black folks that are Muslim. And if you think that Trump ain't trying to figure out a way to make your life miserable, then you're in trouble. All your calls back home to Egypt, talking to your family that took their hajj or migrated out to another country, or you calling them calling you, them calls is pet. So, you know, just because you're brown is one thing, and now you got to throw Muslim on top of it.
Mm-hmm.
America is a whole woman.
Yeah, they're going to use your race, and they're going to use anything they can against you. Your religion. It's like when you got so many odds against you, when are you going to wake up and be like, okay, I mean, sharing a meme on Facebook is not going to do anything just because somebody came up with a meme and shared it 50 million times. That's not doing anything. Or speaking up on Facebook like, oh, you know, don't do this and that. Are you doing it? Are you practicing what you preach?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so not only do we have others bringing us down, but we got the self-hate and we have the own self-destruction of our own people. Anytime you are a grown man that made mistakes in your life or a grown woman that made mistakes in your life and you teach it to a child or a teenager, you are part of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime that you know your life is nowhere near where it should be, but you want a child and teach a child and have them following your footsteps, you're part of the problem. And another thing is with social media, yes, some white folks be out there fighting. They be out there doing all same thing we do. But what do black people do? Share. Like give them, you're giving them something to talk about. And granted, yes, we might watch some videos, you be like, you know, you see a video, you click on it. But my thing is that, yes, it's being shared, but don't do it and nobody be able to record it and nobody be able to share it.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, I have a problem with certain things being shared a million one times, but I also have a problem with it being done, giving them something to talk about. Because the news or one of these media takeouts or whatever, they come across two videos, one with white people fighting, one with black people fighting. Who do you think? What video you think they're going to show? And what's the first comment you're going to see underneath there? Some racist calling something, look at a bunch of animals. That's what you want. That's the first thing you want to see in comments. Because we know, I guess, only ones that fight.
Yep. And,
what
and,
about the...
Listen.
Go ahead.
Sorry, go ahead. No, go ahead.
What about the lady who said she didn't want, gave her, called the people, gave the baby, the kids to the people. She going to jail. But the one lady that they just, who stopped talking about, Casey Anthony. You know, that just, and she about to get rich off of murdering her child. I got my own opinions about that. But my thing is that, or what about the lady who left her child so she can go to the job interview? Was she wrong? Dead wrong. But you got that opposed to some of the other crimes and stuff that I see, and they want to throw the book at us and get them probation, give them a second chance because they made a mistake.
Yeah.
And my thing is, so, yeah, I mean, but we have to also stop doing certain stuff. Now, that right there is a different situation I feel about it with the job interview and all of that. But as far as I saw a video on Facebook today, the guy, I think he skipped a fair or something for the train or something. He had his daughter with him in his arms, and this cop was manhandling him, put the baby in danger just so he could lock him up. For $250, $3, whatever it costs. Whatever it costs. In front
That's
of his
crazy.
Child. So now are you doing this to this black man? And he looked young. He looked like early 20s, maybe late teenagers. But it was like, this is what you want this little girl image to see, where the father is yelling and begging you, just don't take him. And even the lady cop that was there, it was like a transit cop at that. Even the lady transit cop was saying, you know, he got his child, like, let it go. Because, you know, they have the right to make that decision whether they're going to take somebody or not. They even gave him a ticket. But they locked that man up. I don't even know if the people that when they pulled him off, the transit cop, the lady, had the little girl. Some bystander had the bag that was recording, was nice enough to get the phone number so they can call somebody to come get the baby. But at the end of the day, that opened up a whole nother can of worms, because let somebody don't come in and get that baby soon enough and in the system. Even if it's for an hour or a day. And they were black. They were black doing that to another black man. I see if he was tan shit up. I see if he, like, in that instant right there, I didn't see that the punishment did not fit the crime in that case. And it's just like, and I was just watching it, like, in disgust. I was disgusted.
Yeah.
I felt like at that time, like, I felt like he needed to be fired. But he won't be. Why? Because he's helping the problem, so he won't be.
Mm-hmm.
Probably get a medal.
Yep. we have to be careful of the Uncle Tom, the black who will abuse the black for the white man. You know, the black that will support a racist institution because he's getting a good paycheck. Because he's whether you're a black cop and you're under that fraternal order of police, and you see white cops beating the holy hell out of a brother who clearly didn't have any weapons, who clearly didn't do anything wrong. Look at the case, what's that, in Georgia, the two cops who've been fired for beating the brother up. You know what I mean? And it's sad because we got some of our own people who are complicit in this stuff. You know, what's that Sergeant Michael Bongi Avani, whatever his damn name is, an officer Robert McDonald. They both were fired for beating up the brother on April 12th. And the brother was on ABC, Good Morning America, saying he ran into one of those cops prior. And when he saw it was the same cop, he got his phone out ready to go. And they balled him up, telling him that you're not going to have any recording of this. We're going to do this to you anytime we see you. So, and what ended up happening the next day? Somebody across the street was recording. Several people were recording him, recording these two cops. So just think about that for a second. They're going to start beating your ass, saying that you ain't there won't be no video. You ain't recording nothing. That's dangerous.
That is dangerous. Body cams. And what good is the body cams going to be if they're only going to last for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, and not only that, the body cams, they're wearing body cams and still beating the cases because they're saying, hey, I'm fair for my life. That's why I shot them.
Mm-hmm.
What good is that? What good is all of these preventive measures? Which it isn't because it's not helping. And these guys are still committing these crazy-ass crimes. And then the worst part is, what do they want to do? They want to say, well, maybe they need to improve the training. The answer to everything is training with this system-wide, because this is a system-wide epidemic.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't just your city or my city. This is a countrywide issue because it's happening all over the place. Thank God for cell phones. Thank God for cell phone cameras.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we got lucky on April 12th in this situation because someone recorded it in that part of Georgia, which I'm actually shocked that Georgia actually did something right. But anyway, they actually fired these guys, which means that there's some people, things are changing. Think about it. Two white cops beat up on a black kid and they get fired in Georgia? Holy shit, that's progressive. That's a sad statement in itself.
Well, that's because more people stepped in and did something about it. They was able to record, and not just record for their own amusement, because I've seen people
mm-hmm.
record stuff when they should have been stopping it. But at this particular moment, it wasn't nothing they can do to stop it, but they can record it and turn it in. So Facebook is good for something sometimes, too, because it do get certain things out there, but not only you're not only supposed to share it, but you're supposed to make an uproar about it. You know,
mm-hmm.
write, call in
mm-hmm.
something. I mean,
yep.
you know,
yeah.
But
I mean, after the Facebook killer, I heard a lot of people say, you know, we should disband Live. Why? Because some random asshole did something incredibly terrible. What about all the good things people do doing Live? I've seen graduation.
Show on that, and I choose not to give that asshole too much time, but my thing with that is it's not that he did it on Facebook Live, it's that he was able to get away after doing it, get out of that city while doing it. That's the problem. So the justice system, the police department, they were the problem in that situation, because you can't tell me that where he was at, nobody was able to tell. If you're from somewhere, you know your landmarks, you know your streets. You know, so somebody could have been able to call in and say something, and that should have been over and done with. He shouldn't have not been able to go across state lines, not alone even get out of the city.
Mm-mm. So let's think about that for a second.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he was on his Facebook Live, meaning the people who are immediately looking at it is his friends, the people on his friends list, whether it's 500 mm-hmm. or 5,000. In order for the police to be notified, when it's them, his friends who are watching him, who watched him go on for hours, off and on,
mm-hmm.
throughout the day, bitching and complaining about Joy Lane, and
yeah,
none
because
of them
he's there
called the cops.
Because they are part
none
of the problem.
None of them called the cops. Yeah. Yeah, none of them called the cops. He had people watching him talk crazy, and they were calling his other phone, because he had two phones. He had one he was doing a live, and he had another one he kept answering. And they're asking him what's going on, and he's talking to them. But at no point did anyone say, let me call the police, because remember, no snitching. Remember that. It's no snitching. So you're not going to call the cops on your homie. He's talking about he's going to kill everybody he sees, because there's no snitching. So what happens, instead of you calling the cops, you share it to your friends on your list, and their friends share it, and their friends share it. So now it went viral. And it took someone to call the cops. So what happens next? While it's being shared, he getting out of Dodge.
Mm-hmm.
He pops up in Erie.
Yeah. I'm telling you, because Bob going to tell on Billy. Ray Ray can't call tell him about Sean. Like, let's be serious. It's all about protecting where you live at, because it doesn't matter. I mean, a killer is a killer. A killer is a killer. So that man running around killing people, or whether it's him or, you know, one of the neighbors, neighborhood boys or a street game or whatever the case may be, they're a killer. And once killed, they have to protect themselves at all costs, or try not to get caught at all costs. So you knowing about it and not saying nothing about it doesn't make that you're safe. That just means to one day he might just decide he got to take you out because now you know too much. Obviously, if he went on Facebook, he didn't care. Who knew? Obviously, he didn't care. Who knew? So I don't think it would have been no such thing as nobody snitching, because he was telling on himself.
Well, one thing I learned about the no snitching philosophy on the streets, it's all good to keep your mouth shut until it's one of your family members that get popped. That's when you want to be out there on the news. If anybody knows anything, please come forward. Please tell us what's going on. Oh, now you want them to snitch. Did you snitch when you saw little Ray Ray get his melon pop and his mama was crying? You tell? You see, we got to get out of this state of ignorance.
Yeah, that's why I said until it hits somebody directly into their home, then they don't care about it.
Yep.
When it's your next door neighbor, or your quote-unquote brother or sister from across the state or across the country, it's like, oh, you know, that was sad. Let me put a couple of rips on Facebook and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, it's social media is a powerful tool. It is probably the most amazing invention to come out of the last 50, 60 years. You know, the speed of thought has sped up. You know, I'm able to communicate with a guy on the other side of the world on various topics. You already know how I feel about social media. I'm absolutely in love with her. But I do know she got a hoe side. I do know she got a foul side. You know what I mean? You're going to have racism. I watched racists come out of the woodwork with the Facebook killer. I've seen it all over social media. Animals killing animals. Look at this piece of shit. Another nigga killing another nigga, black on black. Like Jeffrey Dahmer wasn't white. Like Charles Manson wasn't white.
Exactly. Well, we're going to have to, we so running out of time. I wish this was a two-hour show instead of an hour. We're definitely going to have to do another show on this. We got like a minute down. I know it's more to cover, you know, in an hour. But we're definitely soon going to come back and talk. I want to thank you for coming on.
Anytime.
So, everybody, once again, this is Queen Vi, and this is Therapy Thursday. Queen Vi's Reality Talk, Sex, Life, and Relationships, every Thursday from 7 to 8 p.m. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. And I will keep you posted on a part two to this. But once again, thanks for calling in. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you. And bye, Black.
Bye, Black. Support Blacks. Build up your community. Empowerment. Okay. I can't stress it enough. Any Black-owned businesses, small businesses, send me your information. I will share it. Vi Pearson, 1982 at gmail.com or my Facebook. Good night.
Good night.